Yes, Father God, this morning, Lord God, we praise your name, Lord God, and we thank you, Lord God, that you put breath in our lungs, Lord God. Father, to worship you, for us to live, Lord God. But Father, also that we can be co-workers with you, Lord God. It's your breath that sustains us, Lord God, that gives life to us, Lord God, that renews us and heals us, Lord God. And yes, Lord God, thank you that you are our hope, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that in eternity, Lord God, that you had a plan with our lives, Lord God, that you knew us, that you called us, Lord God, and Father, that you will make us like Jesus Christ, Lord God, and that you will glorify us, Lord God. Thank you for this beautiful story that you are writing about our lives, Lord God. And thank you, Lord, that we know, Lord God, that as we are standing here worshiping you this morning, Lord God, that you've got an appointment with each and every one of us, Lord God, that you know us by name, Lord God. You know whether we are happy or angry this morning, hurt, Lord. You know our hearts, Lord. And I pray, Lord God, for your Holy Spirit to minister to us, Lord God, that we can walk away here, Lord, and as we stand here in your presence, Lord God, that we can't remain the same, Lord God, that we have to change, that we have to become more like Jesus. Father, we open our hearts right now, Lord God, and we pray, Lord, that you'll minister to us. And yes, Lord God, just give us new breath. We need it, Lord God. We all need it, Lord God. And yes, Lord God, fill our tanks, Lord God, that as the week will begin tomorrow, that we will be excited, Lord, to preach the good news, Lord God, and to smile, Lord God, and give a hug, Lord God, or share a sandwich that you will lay it on our hearts. We thank you that you are God Almighty. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Okay, my name is Carl. I'll bring the word this morning. Pastor Yaku, 2 weeks ago, he introduced me and my wife, Maritza. I was married to her nine beautiful years on Wednesday. We've got 3 children. 9 years might sound like a long time for some of you. For others, it might be like a short time, depending how long you've been married or trusting still for that husband or wife. God knows about you. He knows about your heart and longing. So, it's a privilege for me to stand here this morning. I think the first time I preached here was in, I can't remember when, but it was sometime in 2009. Now, who was part of this church then? Carol, yes, 5 people, if I counted correctly. So the church really grew a lot. And it's awesome to be part of what God is doing. It's awesome to be part of and to see what God is doing. My own road started with God in 2002, Shofar Christian Church, then Stellenbosch. I was very afraid of that sect, you know, that church. And the church where I came from kind of warned us in many ways. But you know, after experiencing life, I never looked back. And it's about this year, it's about 13 years serving God. Been a pastor for 6.5 years, Shofar in Windhoek. And it's really a privilege for us to be here in Swakopmund to see what God is doing, also in Walvis Bay. And I remember when I was young, 22, I got born again there in Stellenbosch. You know, and then our vision was to reach the nations and the generations. And when you're 22, you worry about stuff like maybe a wife one day, your budget, passing your exams, young people stuff. So, yes, it's good to preach about reaching the nations. But I remember at that stage, we were about, I think, 3 churches, Shofar churches, which would be Stellenbosch, Tigerberg, and I think Pretoria. And now today, yeah, we are more than 60 churches. And all the glory to God, you know. But it's just amazing to see how God is working in my life, working in your life. And I believe there's so many people in this city, in this nation, where God is really knocking at the door. And it really gives you hope, you know. If I tell you, what the future looks like, sometimes it's easy for us to grasp that. Sometimes it's challenging. And I remember, as I said, reaching all those nations and generations, I think God has brought us a long way to here. and a lot of beautiful churches, pastors. It's so nice. When I joined my first, in 2009, the first pastor summit, you know, I felt like a child in the, what do you call it, in the personeelkamer. Help me there. The staff room at school. I was like this big eyes in a sense. Didn't say anything looking at all the pastors there. I knew all of them, of course. But these days we go to pastor summits late in the year, October again, and there's so many people I don't know. No, that's a good thing. It means God is adding through various places. He's raising churches. And I think it's just so special to be part of what God is doing in this world. Okay? And it's not just for me. It's for all of us. God is using all of us. Okay? He wants to use all of us. So, yeah, I've got a heart for, yeah, to see, you know, God at work and to help people getting to that place, you know, where God can use you. Okay, that's another word for making disciples, raising leaders. I love the word. I think where me and Pastor Yaku we differ in the natural. I think my wife once called us ich und och. I don't know if you are to translate that, but it just means we're quite very similar in many ways. But I think in terms of ministry, we're quite different. So those of you who have been married for a long time, if you and your husband or wife are exactly the same, then you don't make such a good team. It's usually where we differ and complement each other, where we make stronger teams. So in that sense, I'm also really looking forward to the road ahead. I just feel that we should give thanks for last weekend. In church as well, for the Awakened Conference. We prayed for the east wind not to come and for this not to happen, and we trusted God for many other things. And I just felt it's appropriate. So let's just close our eyes for a moment and just pray and thank God for that. Father, we want to thank you this morning, Lord God. Also, yes, Lord God, that we could come to you in intercession and many other places, Lord God, and pray and interceded, Lord God, for last week's Awakened, Father. Now in church, Lord God, as a congregation, Lord God, that we just want to come and say thank you, God. Thank you for what you did, Lord God. We were merely vessels, Lord God, preparing a table, but it was you at work, Lord God, who did amazing work in many hearts, Lord God. We know there were many tears of joy, Lord God, and we thank you, Lord God, for that you are just so faithful, Lord God, that you use broken vessels like us, Lord God. Lord, you don't want perfect people to sign up, Lord God. You just want normal Christians, Lord God, to sign up, Lord. And yes, Lord God, we just want to celebrate, Lord. We want to pray the blood of Jesus Christ as protection, Lord God, over every good work that you've started last week at the Awaken Women's Conference, Lord God. Thank you for bringing people, men and women, from many different places together, Lord God. And thank you, Lord God, that your gospel is just as powerful as when Jesus preached it the first time, that he is the good news, Lord God. And Father, we also just want to pray for the men's camp in 2 weeks' time and trust, Lord God. Yes, Lord God, that we know that you've got an appointment, a meeting with many men's hearts, Lord. Men that even don't know it at this stage, Lord, but that you know, Lord God, and that you want to meet them there, Lord. We just pray for an amazing weekend in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. I think it's just something we teach our children. Is he cookie by a donkey? You give the child something and you tell them, say thank you, okay? And we should do the same. We can't just take for granted for what God is doing. Believe it's a heart's attitude, just saying thank you, God. I want to share, and I'm going to use a few scriptures today, but I'm going to use one key scripture. It's been on my heart for a while, and I'm actually going to continue in a little sense with the beautiful story theme of Awaken, because the beautiful stories, all the guys in the house, it's definitely not just for women. We can also have beautiful stories. God in eternity, and it will, yeah, your beautiful story started in eternity. All of our beautiful stories started in eternity, and I'll just touch on that, and we'll talk a little bit about that. So I'm going to read to you from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, what I love about God's word is you can read one scripture, okay? You can ask God, open your word to me, and you can read one scripture, one verse, and you can spend quite a lot of time praying on that, meditating on that, thinking about that, studying it, and God will show you so much. I think the biggest mistake I made was when I was young and, you know, late at night, now I'm going to have time, I'm going to spend time with God, open my Bible, read there, and you're 5 minutes down the line, you're so tired, you can't remember what you prayed or what you read or anything. Make your time early in the morning, start your day with God's Word. God's Word and Weet-Bix, it really works for me, with a bit of milk and raisins. That's a good way to start your day. ProNutro also will do the job, okay? It's fine, doesn't matter which one you use. But here, this scripture, it really speaks to my heart. Can I read from the Amplified? That was from the ESV Study Bible. Can I read just from the Amplified Bible that same verse once again? For we are God's own handiwork, His workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, that means born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which He prepared ahead of time. Now, there, our minds are already starting to lose it because I'll come back to that just now. That we should walk in them, living the good life which He prepared and made ready for us to live. That's a mouthful. That's one verse, but it's a mouthful. Okay, I just want us to break it down a little bit. Paul is writing here to the church in Ephesus, so he's speaking to believers. He's now not at this stage speaking to people who doesn't know Christ. He's speaking to believers when he says, for we are His workmanship. Now that word workmanship, that means it's something special. It's something that God created. You are in the English church service, and the English translations use so much better words. I don't have my Afrikaans Bible here, and I actually forgot the word, but it says it's totally different. It's almost like you are there, okay, which isn't the same thing, okay? That workmanship, it also refers to the creator, the master who created something. If you look at a painting, you can say, wow, that's a beautiful painting. But who was the painter? Who was the person who painted it? That's the guy who must get the glory for that painting. Okay? So now here's already important things for our hearts. The way God sees us. The way we see ourselves are really wrong sometimes. The way that God sees us is what matters. And many times we need to come into line with what God works is. That word workmanship can also be translated as handiwork, masterpiece, work of art. That is how God sees you, okay? We are His workmanship, okay? That's a sermon. Amen. Go home. That's something that the world battles with. That's something where so many problems and issues and stuff come from. When we believe a lie from the enemy, which think, I'm not good enough, I'm stupid, I'm not as clever as that person, whatever the case might be. No, God feels this way about all of us. And it's something that we need to make our own, especially you younger people. Okay, when we are younger, our character are still forming in many ways. Don't believe lies of the enemy when someone out there tell you something not nice about yourself. Okay, go to God's Word and see what God says. He says, you're a masterpiece. You're a work of art. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. One gentleman in the previous church service got it wrong. Who of you created themselves? Don't raise your hand, please. It's the wrong answer. Okay? None of us created ourselves. God created us. He formed us. Go and read the Psalms. Okay? God created us. God formed us. And I believe, you know, this is where scriptures like Colossians chapter 3 or John chapter 3 really comes to mind. I remember when I was a young Christian, you know, I always went to a Bible dictionary or a study Bible, and I first went to John 3 verse 3 regarding the new birth. I want to see how they translate it, or if it were a commentary, what do they say? How do they explain this thing, okay, about being born again, about becoming a new person, something new. Okay? We all know our little baby coming into this world. But if you're an adult, God also makes us new. Now, just remember this theme of a beautiful story in the back of your head all the time. So, and then he goes on and he says, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Now, good works is a necessary outflow of salvation. Okay? When you are still in the flesh and you don't know Jesus Christ, you can't really have good works. That's why some other faiths that say you can be saved by good works, it's wrong. Good works flow from salvation. It comes from also from a heart of thankfulness. Okay? That's where our good stories, our beautiful stories will really start. God taking someone that's born a mess, okay, and on its way to hell, where God takes that heart and bring new life. That's where that story really become powerful. And I have to admit, I had the privilege, as Pastor Yaku, I attended my first ladies' conference last Sunday at Awaken, and I sat there during the couch session, and I listened to those three ladies that were really sharing their stories there, okay? Beautiful stories isn't always straightforward stories or easy stories. It's tough sometimes, okay? But God knows. He's at work all the time. And this is something, I just have to make this point very clear, that this good works we are referring, forget Old Testament in terms of Jewish purity laws or about those type of things, maintaining the regulations, the Sabbath observance, or circumcision, those type of things. Think more Galatians 5, fruit of the Spirit. Okay, keep that more in your heart. You know, in the previous church service, Saki shared a testimony about just going to the hospital and praying for someone. Now, none of us can heal someone. God heals people. And God heals when and where He wants to. We can't say, tell God what He must do when. Okay, we can just be vessels. We can be co-workers. And he just had a powerful story about how God touched someone's life. And he just asked if he can pray for that person. That's more what we are talking about here this morning. And then the third last part, it says, which God prepared beforehand. It's predestined or planned before the time. Okay? Now, some of you might plan what you're going to do this afternoon. My wife led me to a very nice place in Swakopmund that has really, really nice ice cream. Down the main road to the left, yes, other people know about it. It's really nice. Windhoek don't have stuff like that. Ice cream don't really work in Windhoek. It's too hot. You know, the kids are a mess. You can't eat it in the car. Yeah, ice cream really works. So you can plan now. What are you going to do this afternoon? Which type of really nice ice cream are you going to eat? You can plan your week, your month, 6 months. You can even plan what you're going to do on the December holiday. But when it comes to a year ahead, 5 years ahead, 10 years ahead, things become shaky in a sense. Most of us can plan for the future, but usually things don't work out. I didn't thought 5 years ago I'll be in Swakopmund. I promise you. It didn't cross my mind. Okay? But God is good. Now we are here. So the thing is just, listen what Scripture says here. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. God, He prepared it in eternity. Now, as I said, we can plan for a few months ahead and maybe things will work out more or less. God prepared something beforehand for us to walk in. God knew in eternity about me and you, and especially for the younger people. I want you to get this thing. It's really important that God knows about you. In God's kingdom, there's no mistakes. There's no oopsies or whatever. Okay? God knew about you. He knew about your name. He knew about the hair on your head. God knows exactly, as all of us sit here, about our feelings even in our heart. The Holy Spirit searches. He knows. He knows exactly. In eternity past, God not only chose a people to be in relationship with Himself, but marked out a path for them to walk in. So somewhere there in the past, in eternity, because eternity is already challenging to understand, God marked out a path for me and you to walk in, and in that path, He wants us to do good works. That's a lot for me. I think it's something to sit still and to think about, okay? That God knew about you in eternity. That's really mind-boggling in many ways for us. Let me read to you from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 to 9. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. It says the same thing. God, even in his wisdom, God Almighty, planned these things. He knew about us, and he's got purpose for us. Now, God has got a calling for each and every one of us, and one of you've probably heard, if you've been in this church for a few years, every year around about October, we've got the Convergence Conference in South Africa, and one of the speakers that's almost there every year, which I really, 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 really love, is Dr. Corne Becker. And I remember one time he told a story about, you know, running away from God. I hope you've tried it once. You can try that. But Dr. Corne ministered and he said, guess what? It's like Jonah. There's always going to be a big fish or a whale waiting to you, swallow you, and bring you back to God. God actually allow it. You might get hurt in the process, okay? In God's will is a safer place than outside of his will. That's something that I have to tell you. Now, even inside God's will, things aren't always perfect, or there's no challenges or anything like that, okay? But it just means there's something that God wants us to click, okay? I can tell Saki right now, Saki, come up here, and he can think, yes, I will do it, or he can think, I won't do it. God gave us a free will to choose, but I really believe as we walk in God's ways, you know, the purpose for our lives will really come forth, and it will be something good. There's certain things I'm definitely not called to be. I can't use these things, okay? I'm not gifted in that area, okay? There's certain things some people are really great at. If you look at the church working together, there's someone at the camera, there's someone at the sound, there's someone making coffee, there's someone that will lead the worship or plan a mission trip. Everything together make the church work. It's almost like married life, okay? The one isn't better than the other, but the team together, it's about teamwork, about making things work, husband and wife, something really important. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 4. Blessed be the God of our Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. I really want this thing to hit home, okay? Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Different chapter, different words, meaning is exactly the same. God chose us. And that is something, you didn't choose God. Yes, you did in a certain way. But even before you said yes for salvation, if I can call it like that, okay, God chose you. And he planned something for you. He planned good works. That means you are useful. God wants to use you, and he wants to use me. Don't think it's only the worship leader or the this or that person that God wants to use. He wants to use every one of us. And that, what I can do, is not the same that she or him or her or who can do. Every one of us brings something special to the table as the church. I love the church, you know. What if God created the church and he just said, well, the apostles and the prophets, they're going to do everything, and you guys just shut up and sit there and pray or look nice? No, God called every one of us to be evangelists, to preach the word, to share. Yes, he gave certain people bigger giftings, I guess, or skills in different departments, if we can call it like that. My wife, I think last week at a children's church, you know, ministered to 42 children. If I walked in there, I would have just thought how much money I have in my pocket and just tell all the kids, let's go buy ice cream, and I won't manage with that much children. But she can. That's fine. We are different, you see? Okay? That's the beauty of the thing. In Psalm 139, it says, "Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them." There's a lot of things that we don't understand. My children are now 5 and 7 and 7. That means the boys are twins. So they come with questions like, "Dad, who created God? And who was God's father? Man, where does God come from?" And I can just smile and tell them. I can say, "Sons, God's ways is higher than our ways. If God wanted us to understand that, he would have shared it in Scripture. He would have given it to us. But I don't have the answer. If someone of you have it, please share it with us. But I don't see it in Scripture. I just see that God was there always. And we can rest in that. You're not going to be a better believer if you figure that one out. God just said, rest in that. My ways is higher than your ways." So on that topic of God's ways is higher than our ways, it's tough for us to understand how God created us in eternity. Now let's stand here. Let's stand still for a while. Oh, okay, before we stand still, I'm standing still, you're sitting still. Let me read you one more scripture. I'm going to always read you a lot of scripture. Romans chapter 1 verse 20. "For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made." I love that scripture. We live in one of the most beautiful countries in this world, I guess. If we look at the sea, the ocean, the desert, the Kalahari, the north, the rivers in the north, the south, everything is special, everything is different. And I believe with all my heart that God created all of that. Scripture says so, that we can see something of God's design. Can I read the ESV Study Bible's commentary on that verse? It also says, "The entire natural world bears witness to God through its beauty, complexity, design, and usefulness." Amen. We can go home. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that powerful? Think of your brain, your lungs, your heart, your legs, how everything is working. The usefulness. God gave us plants. He gave us water. He gave us animals. He gave us so many things. Okay? The way God designed things to work, it's beautiful. God was in his creator, in his wisdom, he gave it to us to enjoy, but also to see that he is God. Paul also writes there quite harshly in a sense, and he says, "You don't have any excuse. Look at this and you must see that God is there," in a sense, okay? But for us, and I've got two pictures I want to show you in a second. If we, in this beautiful country, in most of Namibia, on a winter's night, we travel a little bit out of the mist, and we look at the stars and the heavens, okay? I always have felt small in my life when I look up there and I know of this stars that's been how old God created them. And all of us had to add this question. So if you get to that star, how will it look from there? How far, how big is this expanse? Is there a word like that? I'm translating now something here. But this, let's say just the creation. How big is that? So a while ago, I bought a National Geographic, and there on the topic on the page, it was about the Hubble telescope that was launched about 25 years ago. And there's amazing pictures that it took. And I just went on the internet and had a little bit of a look. So, Ron, you can show that first picture. And I really want to challenge you to go and Google it and read a little bit about it, because you're going to see how big God is and you're going to see how small you are. Okay? That is not someone's eye. It's not part of an ocean. It's something huge that God created. It's the Crab Nebula. The Crab Nebula is a 6 light-year-wide remnant of a star supernova explosion. Japanese and Chinese astronomers recorded this violent event nearly 1,000 years ago in the year 1054. Okay? And you can go on and on and on about this. But it says it's a 6 light-year-wide. Now, I know here you have to hold with me, especially young guys. God speak in different ways than all of us. I can't play music and I don't write poetry, but God works with me in certain ways, and I trust with you as well. Okay? Who of you know what the speed of light is? The amount of kilometers that light travel per second? Where's the engineers? Guess? Someone want to guess? It's about 300,000 kilometers per second. That already is mind-boggling. 300,000 kilometers per second. Now, a light year is the distance that light travels in 1 year. Okay, here it is once again. Travels one in 1 second, light will travel 300,000 kilometers per second. Okay? So a light year is the amount of the distance which will work out to be about 9.5 trillion kilometers in 1 year. Now, according to the research, it says this picture from left to right is about six light years wide. Now, that's difficult to comprehend. It's difficult to understand. Now, one of our pastors, Pastor C.S. LaRue, that I guess many of you will know, I've heard him a few times say, when we come in eternity, when we are in heaven with God one day, for the first 1,000 years, our jaws will probably drop till there somewhere on the floor, and we will just be in awe of God. Now, you can experience it right now. You can go and sit at the Spitzkoppe or at the ocean and also be in awe of what God has already created. But I think God is, I don't know, I can only guess. But we're going to look at stuff like this, and we're going to sing how great is our God, and we're going to have a new revelation, because our revelation is this big right now. One day, we're going to see how big our God is. If we turn the page, I'm not going to go into too much detail. You can go and read it. It's amazing. I sat there looking at the calendar on the Hubblescope page, at the calendar, or the gallery rather, and after a while, I caught myself and I said, hey, you must go and work on your sermon. Don't look at all this. But it's really astonishing to see just something about the size, about the enormity of God's creation. The second one you see right there, and there's many, many pictures like this. It's a jet in Karina. Is there any Karina in the house? It's nothing to do with her. Composed of gas and dust, the pillars resides in a stellar nursery called the Karina. I guess it means nothing to any of us. Located 7,500 light years away in the southern, and then it goes on, constellation of Karina. 7,500. I just now spoke about six light years. 7,500 light years away. Okay? How big is our God? Where is our God? How does eternity work? I really don't know. I just know we serve an amazing big God. Okay? Now here I want to read something to you again. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. How great is our God? When, where, how? How many light years away is God? How big is God? God lives in our hearts. That's what Scripture says. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. Okay? And this God loves us. Now, maybe this is a way God is speaking to me and maybe to some of you. But I see this in Scripture and I think, like, if I said still, God, how did you create people like us? You call us your workmanship and you call us to do good works for you. We are in Jesus Christ. And then you say you prepared it beforehand that we should work in them. I challenge you to go and sit today even, or in the week to come, and say, God, you call me a masterpiece and you want me to do good works, and you prepare that beforehand, somewhere there in eternity. Okay, it really makes me feel small and very, very humble to know that is something God wants to tell us here in Ephesians, something that Paul already had the revelation of more than 2,000 years ago. Okay, and here we sit, and I know God wants to do good works through my life and your life in Swakopmund. And that's why I can tell you, when we have an Awakened conference and it says a beautiful story, I want to tell you this morning, your beautiful story started in eternity with a thought in God's mind. Let's put it that way. I don't know. I don't have other words. That's huge. That's amazing. Now, I want to tell you that I believe God has got a beautiful story for every one of us. He's got good works for all of us. But I want to tell you, in this road, on where God is authoring this beautiful story, there will be rocks. There will be klipperige pad. There will be stones in the way. It's not always easy. When you go to Zanzibar or Mauritius and you hang there in a hangmat and you drink a pina colada, nothing wrong with that. But God is not forming your character usually right then, except if your wife are ministering to you. Okay, one person once said, your wife is many times it's like the Holy Spirit helping to shape you. Okay? Love my wife. But the thing is, when you're at a place like that, God is not, you know, you're not being stretched and bent and molded as much as when you're really broke and it's only the 15th of the month, or if you don't have a meal, or if you're on a mission team and you don't like what's happening there because it's a challenge to you. That's when God is working in our lives. Okay, so just remember that beautiful story doesn't say we come to Jesus Christ and now there's a blank check of just prosperity and favor. That's nonsense. That's unbiblical. Okay, Jesus suffered, the apostles suffered, and we will suffer. Okay, if you don't suffer, you're not a Christian. The word says we will suffer. That means there will be hard times. God is a good God. He gives us amazing favor and breakthrough. But there will be tough times because that's where God is forming us. That's where our character is being formed. That's where we learn to say yes, where we learn to say no, where we learn to pray, where we learn to give, to do stuff that doesn't always come that easy. This path, this is a path of good works, which would characterize their lives, talking about the Christians, throughout the Christian journey and would bring glory to God. Remember, our lives, whether we eat or drink, must bring glory to God. Okay? So I want to tell you this morning, the more that we walk in God's ways, maybe you don't have any clue today what God's will is for your life. And I want to tell you, it's okay in a sense, but if you go and ask God, He will reveal it layer by layer. Sometimes He give a lot to some people, but many times He will give you a little bit by little bit, because that's the way you can digest it. God told me 10 years ago, be a pastor. I just thought this morning, by the way, stage. I hated the stage when I was young, okay? I thought that's the old enemy. I didn't like to stand on a stage or what, to preach there. But praise God, He helped me through many trials and stuff to not stand here and shake like this when I preach, okay? And through your life and my life, God needs to get the glory of what we do, the way we do it, and to have excellence in things. Now, you can say, Pastor, yes, you don't know about my life, my circumstances. How will I be able to do good works? Well, it's Scripture has an answer for us. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Okay? That's God working in our lives for His will and His pleasure. That's why I said He's got purpose for our lives. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, it says that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant to you to be strengthened with the power through His Spirit in your inner being. And that's something I want to tell you. Start every day with time with God, because you don't know what your day is going to look like. I guess most of you are somewhere on a WhatsApp group by now. Okay. Now, I'm also on one. It's for the pastors in our church group. And one of the pastors, Pastor Macadamy, he will also be at the men's camp. He posted the clip of an American guy that went to Iran. He felt God led him to go there and to do good works. Let's call it like that. Preach the gospel, reach out to people. Now, if you're American and a Christian and you go to Iran, you really have to be sure about your calling. I haven't been there, but I know it's not an easy one. It's really one that can cost you your life. Okay? And he ended up, and I believe as he was leaving the country, he was testifying. As he was leaving the country, the guy started with, now your papers aren't in place. And then they fiddled a little bit with everything. And I don't know what exactly happened. But he ended up being in jail, interrogated, beaten, tortured, really bad. It came to a place where he is a Christian. He thought he's going to strangle himself and kill himself, tying his shirt around his neck and use the toilet and the bathtub, or not the bath, the wasbak in a certain way. That's where he came to a place where he said, God, I can't anymore. I had it. I guess I made a mistake here. I must have been wrong. I did something wrong to end up in a place, a hellhole like this. But he couldn't kill himself. Every time he tried, I think he said three times, he couldn't do it. Because why? God gave life in us. That's why if you try to drown someone, it goes against the natural. God gave something in us to not to kill yourself, to live. That's instinct. Look at little children. Okay? And basically, he ended up, he went to court and he knew. They kind of figure out for some reason he was a Christian preaching the gospel. And that would have cost him his life. To cut a long story short, when he was in that court, he basically testified about Jesus Christ, I think for 30 minutes or something. 3 weeks later, he was safely back in America. That's a miracle. That's amazing. Stuff like that happen all the time, okay? And that's about God's goodness. But I just want to tell you this morning that God knows about you. There's every one of us. God is the author of a beautiful story for our lives. But like for that gentleman that went to Iran, okay, it's not going to be easy always. It's not a straight road. It's a bumpy road. It's tough sometimes, but you're not alone. God placed you in a family. God gave you a small group, hopefully, and God is there. And you know what? This guy who survived this whole ordeal, being back in America, he could testify this. And I, sitting here in Namibia, I could read it, and it could give me courage and inspiration about what God wants to do. And who's getting the glory here? Definitely not that guy. God is getting the glory because he said it. I had it. I couldn't go on anymore. Okay? Ephesians 3, verse 16. That you will be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being. You will not be able to do much in God's kingdom if the Holy Spirit doesn't strengthen you in your inner being. The theologian Marcus Barth rightly observes, the Spirit of God who produces all good works and attitudes does not take control over men in such a fashion that men are manipulated like puppets on a string, but he activates man and makes him a responsive partner of God's covenant. Okay, that's important. That means we're not like a puppet in God's hand. No, that's not what God intended it to be. He gave us a free will. But if you tune your ears, I will never forget it. Some of you might know him better than others. Pastor Jan Korbrink, that's also, he was a while in this church. He's now at our head office there in Stellenbosch. When I was born again in 2002, God sent me first to his small group. And I remember he said, but God showed him this and that. I was like, what do you mean God showed you? I never heard about anything from God in my life up to then. And he explained to me, especially the older people will maybe remember better, those, my father had a radio like that with this big knob. And you turned it and then it goes like that and until you get onto the station. And then you can hear. And he said, learning to hear God's voice is like that. There might be, when you're a younger Christian, a bit of noise in the background. But once you learn how to tune it, you will start to hear God's voice, okay? And God will only speak to you about stuff that the Scripture also speak to you about. God will never contradict himself. And there's many other believers in church where you can go to and you can say, well, I feel this and that in my own heart. What do you think? Pray with me. And God will help you. God gave us a free will, but if you are a responsive partner, God will line you up day after day for good works. And sometimes you might think like, nope, God, I'm not going to do that. And you say no. God's still going to love you. He will come and knock again. Amen? Have you experienced that? Sometimes we say, God, I'm too scared. And then you say yes, and God will use you, and it will work out even if you take a few shots in between. And even if you say, no, God, I can't, God will come in a day or five or a year and ask you the same thing again. Go and read about Jonah once again. Okay? God has got so much grace and mercy also for us. He knows. Maybe you were like that as well. I remember when I was a young believer then at Stellenbosch at the university, and I think like, God, I will do this and this for you, but that, no, 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 God, you can't ask that of me right now. And you know what? Like, I won't expect of my seven-year-old boy to drive a car right now. God knows what he will ask of you when. God understands it. He's a father. Okay, he knows when you are mature enough for a certain job or task. So we know that in Ephesians especially, you know, before coming into relationship with God, it also speaks about our former ways. Believers were controlled by the evil forces. There was a lot of occultic stuff happening there, witchcraft in Ephesus and those places in those times. And now we are set free, they were set free, and we are empowered to live in the way God has designed us to be. So I want you to remember this part of Scripture today. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. It doesn't say some of us, it says for all of us. All the other scriptures in Philippians and Ephesians I've read to you, that it says before the foundation of the world that God has planned it. Now, that is so special to me to know that God wired me in a certain way, and there's certain things he wants me to do. I want to encourage you today. Once again, I believe some of you are like an arrow on the way to the bullseye in terms of hitting that sweet spot of what God wants you to do. Some of us here today might not have a clue what God's plan and purpose are for your life. But go and pray about it. And I trust and I believe that God will reveal it to you slowly, bit by bit. Okay? God will, he wants you to know. It's not a secret locked up there somewhere, but God takes some time to show it to us. He doesn't always give us everything on the same time. So, just regarding this beautiful story, as I said, that started in eternity, because you have to understand that part. Go think about that stars, about the light years, where God, there's somewhere in eternity, pre-planned this, predestined it, okay, for all of us. And then he goes on and he says here in Philippians, I'm going to read from chapter 1, verse 3 to 6. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And here in verse 6 it says, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. The good work that God has started in my life and in your life and in believers all around the world, that he will bring it to completion. That good work that he started, he will end it. Okay? Sometimes we really try hard to jump ship like Jonah. We try and say, God, I had it, I can't anymore, etc. But I want to challenge you, go back to God. Repent if necessary. Okay? You will know your circumstances about your life. And say, God, I want to be in your will. Because I want to stand one day in eternity before you. And I want to get the okay. I want the good and the faithful servant. Okay? Nothing can steal you from God. God loves you so much. He's a father. Okay? And sometimes we really feel like the enemy has got us right now. That guy, I can forward you the testimony of that guy, the American guy that went to Iran. He must have felt like, okay, God, you definitely forgot about me. I got something wrong. But he didn't. God take him through that court case. He took him safely back to America. It's a miracle. God can get the glory for that. And I believe Paul says that whether we eat or drink, whatever we do, that God should get the glory. I love about discipling. I love about pastoring. I love about parenting courses or marriage preparation. And I will always say, whether it's about marriage or parenting or whatever the case might be, that God should get the glory. If you are married and you think what you can get out of it, you need alignment. It's about what you can give, and you should live in such a way that it can glorify God. Whether we eat or drink, whatever we do, that it can bring the glory to God. We came here about a month ago, and I believe some things I got right as a pastor in Windhoek, some things I probably didn't, like all of us. And a friend of mine, a guy in church, which I have a lot of respect, he phoned me about 2 weeks ago. We talked about a few things, and he said, "You know what, Carl? Some of the things that you did in church in Windhoek, that ripple effect, like when you throw a little stone in a pool of water, it will go on for a long time, even though you left." I said, "Yo, man, are you serious?" You know, and I felt so humble just to be able to make a small contribution somewhere in some people's lives, and that thing still goes on. And that is like how God sees you today. You're like this little clippy, this little rock in God's hand. And he's going to throw you somewhere. And that ripples need to go on forever. Because I'm standing here and at men's camps and pastor summits and in my own time with God, everywhere I've learned a few things about being a Christian, being conformed to Christ, about church, about prayer, whatever the case might be. Okay? And God is using me to make that little effect. And God is using all of you as well, just in different places, different platforms. So remember that that thing started in eternity, and it will end there once again when we stand before God one day. And because of our relationship with Jesus Christ, the Father will say, "I know you." Jesus knows us. And we will be in eternity with him, looking at videos like that forever, and our mouths open like this, just in awe of who God is. But there's something else I want to tell you today that I believe and that I felt for us, mainly as believers sitting here, the church this morning. I sat there at the Awaken last week, and it's Vivian and the other ladies telling their stories. And a few times I thought, like, God, but how can it be? How can life be so tough sometimes? How can things go wrong so much in terms of people getting hurt or this or that, you know? And I just thought, like, I just felt in my heart the Spirit say to me that, you know, Jesus had a lot of compassion. Yaku shared the other day about grace and truth and when to minister what. There's a certain time when a broken person comes to you, and you shouldn't kick that one and say, but your shoes are dirty or whatever. Then we get it wrong, okay? We should also have compassion. God is writing this beautiful story regarding everyone's life. And sometimes we come, God is busy there with something, and now we want to, out of place, tell someone, but this or that in your life isn't right, okay? Yes, you should trust the Spirit when to say what. But sometimes there's a DVD in the church office, and I know the whole show for movement, all the pastors, I think it was 2009 or 10, we had to watch it. It's about a guy in America, and the title or the name of the DVD, it's called "Lord, Save Me From Your Followers." Lord, save me from your followers. If you look at the past 2,000 years of church history, we got a lot of things wrong, but we did get a lot of things right as well. But we messed up also a lot, okay? And I just want to challenge us as a church to have respect for people out there. I got it wrong. I remember on the 24th of October 2002, I got born again. My life changed, and I was so happy, you know? And only 2 years later, Peter Pollock was preaching there at Stellenbosch Shofar, and he said, new believers should actually keep quiet for 2 years. And the context, what he actually meant was, sometimes you're all hype and not a lot of good doctrine, and you really mess up. And I really tried to get my poor sister saved, Okay, and I couldn't. I just offended her so far away because what did I do? I got born again. I just started to point out all the sin in her life. That's not what God called me to do. Praise God, we really reconciled. 2010, I had the privilege to marry her, so I guess she forgave me. Hallelujah for that. I'm not saying you shouldn't testify if you're a young Christian. I'm not saying that. That will be unbiblical. I'm just saying that we, the followers, the church, can sometimes hurt people or keep people away from Jesus Christ. Not on purpose always, or hopefully never, but it can happen. That DVD goes about, Lord, save me from your followers, where many people actually want to follow Jesus, but the church are really tough. Or the way I always listen, and maybe the older people in the church might relate. My father is now about 70, and he grew up there between Arenos and Leonardville in the Kalahari a long time ago. And if I listen to the way he experienced church, I can imagine why he didn't want to go to church for a long time. Okay? Think about it. I'm just saying today, God called us for good works, to love, to be the salt, to be the light. You will know when to tell a fellow believer, pull up your socks, stop doing this. There's definitely a place. I'm for discipline, I'm for leadership, all those things. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying from a certain perspective, God is the author of this beautiful story. You respond to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And I'm asking us today, as God leads us, let us just have compassion and not always see a sinner out there running to his life like I did when I was 22 and want to try and tell my poor sister how wrong and sinful she is and how she's going to hell and how she could get saved. Then you people usually say, you are weird. You're in a sect. What happened with you? Where's my brother? You know? Just have wisdom. Ask God for wisdom. The harvest is ready. The harvest are really, really ready. We should just trust God how to engage people, okay? And how to do these good works that Scripture are talking about. So especially you young people, just remember today, God loves you. He had a plan. He has got a plan with your life. Maybe you are 15 or 12 or 17 today sitting here, or 30 or 40, and you think like, God, what's the purpose of this? We all get to a place of that, like that, thinking about, what's the purpose of life? What's this all about? Okay? And you just have to go back to Scripture, believe what God is saying, and go and check. If you're at the bad place right now, go and see where was the last time that God spoke to you. Go back to that place. Say, God, what's the next step? Where do you want me to be? Okay? Young people, young believers, it's okay to testify. Maybe just check it with your small group leader first. Okay? But I trust you're hearing what I'm saying today. Can we pray together? Lord, we want to thank you, Lord God, that you love us so much, Lord God. Lord, I want to pray this scripture, Lord God, Ephesians 2 verse 10, that we are your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Father, I pray that you had an appointment with all of us today, Lord God, that you wanted to minister to our hearts, Lord God, that you want to align us to your heart, Lord. I want to thank you, Father, that you call us in eternity for good works, Father, that you love us so much. Father, sometimes we feel so incompetent, Lord God, but you say, Lord God, that you are Father, that you love us, Lord. Lord Jesus, your Son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross for us to be set free, that we are made new in you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that you gave us a free will to make these decisions as well. But as believers, Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that day and night you will lead us so clearly in your church, outside of church, wherever, to do good works, to love, to hug, to give, to sow, Lord God, to pick up, to clean, Lord God. Yes, Lord God, that we can testify about what you did in our lives. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that so many times we mean good and we really do bad. But thank you for your grace, for not just striking our names through and calling us off the playing field. I pray, Lord God, for a maturity in our lives, Lord God. I pray for a strength in our lives, Lord God. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will come and strengthen our inner man, our inner being. And I pray, Father, that all of us that our radios, our receivers, Lord God, will be very close to your voice, that we can hear, that we can discern, that with clarity we can follow you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, that you are faithful. I thank you, Lord God, that you are with us. And I pray, Lord God, that you will just raise us up, Lord God, as a church. Lord, I know in this city in Swakopmund, Walvis Bay, Lord, the whole of Namibia, there's many people sitting today thinking, what is the purpose of all of that? I must be a mistake. But Lord, you know their names. I pray and I prophesy, Lord God, that you will send us to broken people, to the hurt, to the down and out, not to judge them, but to love them, to lead them to Jesus Christ. Yes, Lord God, that you can be glorified, Lord. I pray, Lord God, that you will give us the grace, the mercy, Lord God, the strength and the wisdom, Lord God, to run this race. Father, I pray for every believer whose legs are tired today, that you will renew those legs to run the race, Lord. I pray for every heart that is broken or hurt, Lord, but that you will come and mend it again, Lord. I pray for every mind that is confused, Lord God, every mind that's not sure about where north is, what is right now. I pray, Lord God, that you will bring clarity, that like in Romans 12 verse 2, Lord God, that you will come and renew our minds, Lord God, that you will bring that healing, Lord. I pray for people who's anxious, who can't sleep at night. I pray, Lord God, that they will cast off those burdens, Lord, that they will bring it to you, Lord God, and Father, that you will bring peace, Lord God. Father, I pray for every person here that's caught up in a ritual of sin, Lord God. Lord God, that you will come and break that, that you'll come break those bonds, Lord God, that you will come and heal, Father, that you will come and set free, Lord God. Yes, Lord God, that you called us to be sons and daughters of the living God, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we can look to everything around us, to the stars, the sun, the ocean, and we can acknowledge, Lord God, that the designer has been amazing. We look at the galaxies and the stars, Lord, and we can't comprehend how big thousands of light years must be, but we rest in that you created it, and you called it good, Lord God. Thank you, Father, that you are a Father to us. In Jesus' name, amen.